Okay, great to be with you. We're going to go to a break and come back with a very uplifting story and something that really makes you think this is the right thing to do, and to get on here and to talk about the problems and to reveal them can actually lead to results. And I'm thrilled to say that that has happened with this very program. We're going to come back with Joshua Kors right after this and talk about it on the Solution Zone. We're the new AM 1230 KJFK. The Solution Zone on Talk Radio AM 1230. I'm Christiane. 825-7529 is our number, the email address, thesolutionzone@yahoo.com. And when I first started doing talk radio and looking into these stories, I used to say to myself, it can't possibly be as bad as I think it is. And what it turns out to be is worse. Generally, most of the stories that you look into, and I would even arguably say all of the stories of scandals, all of the stories of corruption, all of the stories of problems and atrocities put in place by this administration are worse than they even appear on the surface. And sometimes you get so depressed and you get upset about the manipulation that goes on in this government, and it makes you feel a bit despairing, and you wonder if anything that you do or anything that you say to reveal these things actually make a change. But last night, wonderfully, I received the news that a program that we did a couple weeks ago actually did help to bring about some change and facilitate results. And this is a very important issue regarding veterans. And I want to bring onto the program with me Joshua Kors. And Joshua, thanks for being with us on the show again.
Thank you, Christian.
I really appreciate it. Well, I want to recap on this story a little bit, and our listeners probably remember it because it was so compelling. This was the story about the treatment of Army Specialist John Town by the U.S. military. And John was serving in Iraq in Ramadi in October 2004 when a 107-millimeter rocket struck 2 feet above his head. The impact punched a hole the size of a piano over his head. John fell to the concrete. He blacked out. He had shrapnel embedded in his neck, and his ears were leaking blood. And the results of all of this was that he lost most of his hearing, only 50% in one ear, lost all of his hearing in the other ear. And he was awarded the Purple Heart by the military for these wounds that he received, but he never fully recovered and got to a point where both he and the Army agreed he wasn't combat ready. But then, instead of sending John Town to a medical board and discharging him because of his injuries, these injuries that, again, he received the Purple Heart for, doctors at Fort Carson, Colorado, did something really strange. They claimed that his wounds were actually caused by a personality disorder. And this is where the whole thing starts. They gave him a personality disorder discharge. And what happens when you get this discharge is that you lose your medical benefits as well as your pension. And it's incredible.
Yes. You know, you lose the option to receive disability pay, medical benefits, and you also have to give back your signing bonus so that thousands of these wounded soldiers find out on the day of their discharge they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars. The importance of his story is that it goes well beyond him. 22,500 soldiers have been discharged under this personality disorder provision in the last 6 years alone. His case has really blown up with the media attention it's received in the last few days. And as you mentioned in the intro, some positive advances are afoot.
Yes, and that's why I brought you on. Now, we had had a show following that, and we had Bob Filner on, and he is the new head of the Veterans Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. We brought him on the show, and you were actually able to come on and talk to him about this issue live on the air. And then after that, tell us what follows. They requested 7 copies of the story that you'd written for The Nation magazine, first of all.
And that's right. They wanted several copies. They could pass it around. Filner was very interested in this issue, although I can't say he knew much about the personality disorder issue specifically. And when he heard about the details, you heard the shock in his voice.
He was surprised.
He asked to speak with me and work with me about this issue. Since he got involved, the changes have come rapid fire. The first and biggest change is that the VA in Dayton, Ohio, where Specialist Town lives, did a 180-degree turn and is now offering him full medical care.
And how did this happen? How did this come about?
Well, that I'm not really sure. I'm still doing some reporting on it, precisely who stepped in and how they did. But certainly the drama of this change is well documented. They had been stalling on considering treating him for about 8 months. They told him they had lost his application for treatment 5 separate times. They told him he'd have to start all over again, and then the very next day he gets the call saying, come on down, we're going to provide you treatment this morning.
And this was after the point in time when you had talked with Bob Filner about this. And didn't you say they were all shaking his hands and saying thank you so much for telling your story, all the military that were there?
Yes, he said he broke into tears. The reception was so warm. And they're now giving him treatment for his headaches, pills for his sleeping. Before this, he was sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night after being struck by that rocket. But you know, it goes well beyond the Dayton VA. I received a letter signed by 6 senators. It was sent to the General Accounting Office demanding an investigation on this personality disorder scandal. Letters signed by Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, and several others.
And I was surprised to have Joe Lieberman on there, but that's a good thing, right? Because that will pull in the Republicans into this as well, even though he technically still calls himself an independent.
Well, Christiane, I don't think this is a left or right issue. I think everybody wants to see the right thing done for these soldiers. It's just that right now the system is fractured. I had a good discussion about this morning with Crystal DeClear, Bob Filner's press secretary, and she pointed out to me just how broken the system is. Even if he and his committee wanted to step in, they only have control over the VA medical care. In John's case, he went in, saw the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, you absolutely have traumatic brain injury. The diagnosis you were given at Fort Carson of a pre-existing personality disorder is absurd and false, and we're throwing it right out the window. Here's medication for the traumatic brain injury, but all of that does nothing to affect his false diagnosis from the Army and his false diagnosis from Fort Carson. Because those are not corrected, he still cannot receive disability pay.
Okay, so he's getting his medical, but he's not getting disability pay. We're speaking again with Joshua Kors. He wrote a wonderful article, cover story of The Nation magazine, a few weeks back. I think it was the April 9th issue. And you got a lot of response from this article in The Nation. And in fact, they ran all of, or quite a number of the letters that you received so the people could see what the public thought about this story.
It's been a flood, and the response has not just come from these senators and Congressman Filner. Today, you type in Specialist John Town into Google, you get over 4 million hits. It's really taken off in that way. And as you know, just this morning, congressional hearings with Filner's subcommittee on health has already started discussing proper treatment of soldiers like Town with traumatic brain injury. The ball is really rolling. I think the only thing that's left is for some of the medical departments in the military to step forward and say, you know what, we've made a mistake. 22,500 soldiers are being denied benefits they deserved, and we're going to correct this.
Well, and this is where, and apologize for interrupting, but this is where I go back to whether or not it's a right or left issue. Technically, it's not, but we have all seen, watching this administration, the reluctance to admit a mistake and the reluctance to come forward and expose what was behind the mistake. So I'm hoping that the outrage that we saw between both Republicans and Democrats with regard to the Walter Reed scandal will, you know, expand to this particular issue. And so that's why I was saying it was good to see that Joe Lieber was in on this at this point in time. Can you share with us, Joshua, some of the comments that you received in this flood of reaction to your article in The Nation?
Sure. I've been receiving a dozen emails a day from soldiers saying, you know, this happened to me, this happened to my brother, my father. I've received letters from physicians with military ties. One says specifically that he knew a pack of doctors at the forts he was working with. They could always count on them to diagnose personality disorder, regardless of the medical facts of the case. It's simply an ingrained part of the system. And you know, to go back to what you were saying about the reluctance to admit a mistake, mm-hmm. that is still a critical component in the way the national government is responding to this.
Really?
I received a letter from the Surgeon General, Acting Surgeon General Gerald Pollack, that said that John's case and a host of others presented to her received a complete and thorough review. 5 months they spent reviewing, and decided that all of these diagnoses were correctly diagnosed. I got one from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman, a spokesman for the Army, that went even further, said that they had reviewed all the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was from, and decided that all of those cases were correctly diagnosed. But, Christian, perhaps it won't shock you to learn that I did touch a follow-up and found out that their five-month review was actually a sham. In the 5 months they spent doing this thorough review, as they called it, they didn't interview a single soldier. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were made and ask them whether their first diagnosis was correct. The doctor's office said, yep, we got it right the first time, and they considered that a complete and thorough review.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, it's very sad, but I'm not surprised. Now, Johnstown has, this is another new development, he's filed an official complaint with the Colorado Mental Health Licensing Agency against Dr. Wexler, and this, I believe, is the doctor who initially diagnosed him with the personality disorder.
And that's right. Wexler seems to be an epicenter of several cases, but again, it goes across the country. I spoke to soldiers from Fort Carson, to Fort Polk, to Fort Stewart in Georgia. This problem is widespread. There are thousands of wounded veterans that are being denied these cases. As I mentioned to you yesterday, I'm working on a case now of a soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq. His doctors in the Army decided that his ocular damage was caused by a pre-existing personality disorder.
It's just so absurd. It's so absurd that you could think that you could bring this argument to anyone, and they'd be able to clearly say, well, this case is clear, and do something about it. And I do think that, as you said, when Bob Filner heard about this, he was outraged, and he did start the ball rolling, and he did start things moving. But you've said that you feel what still needs to happen is for the nation to see this, for these soldiers to testify openly in Congress on national television so we can see, again, what the military has been doing for these troops that we supposedly support.
That's right. Specialist Johnstown is a very eloquent person, can talk about how his hearing loss did not come from a personality disorder. William Wooldridge from Arkansas can talk about the schizophrenic delusions he suffered after accidentally running over a young girl in Iraq, and how those delusions simply weren't there before service. Case after case, you have soldiers that are willing to speak, but simply never been contacted. And I think that brings it back to Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman, who spoke about the four-year review they did and found nothing wrong. I asked Tallman, how could you consider this a complete and thorough review if you didn't interview a single soldier? And he said to me, well, you know, I'm not quite sure we can say that it is a thorough review. And in fact, let me go one step further. I didn't write this memo, and I have no knowledge of its contents. He told me who did write the memo in the Surgeon General's office. That was Cynthia Vaughn, the press spokeswoman there. I have now made 19 phone calls to Ms. Vaughn without her successfully addressing this issue.
Well, I just want to say, and again, we're speaking with Joshua Kors. He's a freelance writer and had put this incredible article in The Nation magazine. You've been working on this story for 7 months. You have put in so much time on this, and I think that you really can be given credit for the results that are now starting to occur.
I think a lot of people have contributed. Veterans for America, which brought these cases to the Surgeon General. Obviously, a lot of my research put together what was scattered out there, but hadn't really been recognized by the journalism community, by the government. Everyone's working on the same page here at this point.
Finally.
The only question is, will it come to hearings? Will it come on TV to the American people?
Well, let's go back and talk about this this committee now. Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Christopher Bond, Joe Lieberman, Tom Harkin, and Claire McCaskill, they sent a letter. And basically, the letter requested investigation into known cases of improper discharges or misdiagnosis, and also the growing number of discharges for personality disorders. Another important thing they were concerned about, besides the personality disorder discharge, are that these accusations have started to come out that soldiers are faking their injuries in order to get benefits.
Yes, that was the case in a specialist Towns situation as well. I have his medical documents where his audiologist at Fort Carson, Dr. Richard Purdy, suggests that he was faking his hearing loss. At that point, what can a soldier say? And why would a soldier step forward for treatment when he knows that he's going to be accused of faking his illnesses, or that a possible outcome of seeking help would be being discharged without ever receiving disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life?
Yeah, the discourage, and it's intentional, intentionally discouraging these soldiers to keep them from stepping forward and coming forward. The Army, basically, it was underfunded before this war. These funds have been drained for combat operations, and therefore it doesn't go to helping these soldiers. And basically, it seems to be that this is an attempt by the Army to save money, pressure doctors to help by giving these soldiers this diagnosis and moving them along, not having to pay them their benefits, and also getting them out of the system.
That's right. By cheating these wounded veterans out of their benefits, the military is saving $12.5 billion over the course of their lifetime. That's $8 billion in disability pay and $4.5 billion in medical care. And, you know, money is part of it. You mentioned how the system is strained. Nobody expected the war to go on this long or to produce these many wounded soldiers. But another part of it is just simply how overrun and short of supplies the hospitals are.
Mm-hmm.
The personality disorder, you can get a soldier out the door in just a few days. If they were properly diagnosed as having been wounded because of their service in Iraq, they'd have to go to a med board, which takes about 6 months to process. By booting one of the soldiers out the door, they can free up that space for the four or five soldiers who are waiting to fill it.
And that's what they're doing it for, and again, not taking into account who these people are, how their lives are being shattered, and what's happening to them in the meantime. And Joshua Kors is with us. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk a little bit more. I want you to share with me a letter that you received about Bush possibly being the one with the personality disorder, and we'll talk about that when we come back. You're dialed into the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230, KJFK. Thanks for coming back with us on the Solution Zone on Talk Radio 1230. I'm Christiane, and with me is Joshua Kors, the author of an article in The Nation magazine, which has actually started some results, started the ball rolling here. And again, we brought Joshua back on the program because he had an opportunity to actually speak with Congressman Bob Filner on this show and get some progress going. And it was surprising to me, Joshua, and you mentioned it earlier when we were talking, the shock and the surprise in Congressman Filner's voice about these personality disorders, about the number of them that had been diagnosed. I think so many people believe that if you're at these high-level positions that you would know about this stuff, and it was surprising that he was pretty much unaware.
Well, I can't speak to why so many of these congressmen don't know what's going on with our own servicemen. It did seem strange to me when I broke this story that all the information had been out there before with thousands of soldiers, and no one had really paid attention, put the pieces together, stepped forward to rectify it. And I think that's where things need to go. I mentioned before my conversation with Crystal DeClear, Filner's press secretary, about how the system is fractured. His department controlling the VA medical care, a separate department, the Armed Services Committee, controlling the diagnosis and discharge of the soldiers. I think if anything positive can come out of congressional hearings, perhaps it would be streamlining the system so that a single agency would have control over the entire process each soldier goes through, from their diagnosis to their discharge to their medical treatment afterwards. Right now, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing,
right.
And that's why you have absurd situations like John Towne getting full medical care from the VA, but still having no disability pay because the Army is still insisting that he has a pre-existing personality disorder.
Right. In a sense, that very action of them doing that, glad that they did, but sort of disproves their entire theory, and it's kind of strange that that occurred. You know, it's very odd. Well, you are going to have a follow-up article on this as well in The Nation magazine. You're working on that now, and I wanted to go back to one of the comments that you received, a letter that began, it's clear that President Bush is the one who has the personality disorder.
Yeah. In the flood of emails came a lot of anger and a lot of dark comedy. And one of the writers said that he thought George Bush had the personality disorder and that a solution to that problem would be for him to give back his benefits, put a hood over his head just as in Abu Ghraib, and force him to listen to the Dixie Chicks for a good period of time.
I'd like to see that, too. That would be nice. You also had several comments you received from doctors who said that the diagnosis was absurd.
Sure. Well, a personality disorder is a pre-existing condition so severe that a soldier wouldn't be able to serve from the very first day. In Specialist Towne's case, he served for 7 years with such distinction that he earned 12 medals. In other cases I looked at, soldiers had top security clearances. These are soldiers who were working successfully, and as the many doctors pointed out to me, that simply flies in the face of any attempt to brand them as having a pre-existing personality disorder.
Because they were performing successfully up until the point of their injury.
Absolutely. That's just not how a personality disorder functions in the real world. Someone who truly has a personality disorder wouldn't be able to step on base in the first place. They would simply be too dysfunctional.
Very interesting. So where are we now, Joshua, with this? What other things are in the works, and where do you see this going at this point in time?
Well, it's hard to say. Every morning brings a flurry of new activities. I think it'll be interesting to hear in the Democratic debate tonight whether personality disorder gets mentioned, whether Barack Obama, who took a strong stand in demanding this investigation from the GAO, really does step forward. I know there's some separate actions being taken at Fort Carson right now, which I'm not at liberty to discuss. But let's just say that several different venues in Washington are considering pursuing an investigation here. It may be a matter of time of who beats whom to the clock.
Barack Obama, you had said earlier when we were talking, had indicated that he was going to include this issue as part of his platform in running for president, and one of the things that he planned to discuss somewhat regularly and bring to the attention of the American people.
That's right, and I think a big question on many veterans' minds is Hillary Clinton, as the front runner in this race, going to throw her weight behind this issue and demand an investigation and a solution herself. She's a woman who receives a lot of airtime, and if she voiced concern for this scandal, I think things could change pretty fast.
And isn't that ironic? Because part of you that watches these presidential debates and these races, you know, just despises the one-upsmanship. Or if he's going to talk about poverty, I'm going to talk about poverty. But in this instance, this Barack Obama bringing up this issue could, as you said, spread this issue across the presidential candidates and get it discussed fairly openly.
It could. He's a rising star, quite a lot of political power. But we'll see how it plays out. I think right now the onus is actually on the American people to write to their representatives to demand that this be taken care of. I think if Congressman Filner and the other top officials, even those on the Armed Services Committee, which oversees the diagnosis and discharge of these wounded veterans, if they heard a chorus saying we demand action here, things can change a lot faster than you might imagine.
Yeah, it is surprising, and you go back to the fact that so many people in Congress never read the Patriot Act, and they passed it. I think that the time has come to open up and look at some of these details and find out what's really happening in our country, and again, to these veterans that we say we support. Joshua, thanks so much for writing this article and for the follow-up that you've been doing and your continuing investigation into this issue. It's just so wonderful to see that progress has actually been made and things are starting to happen.
Well, thank you, Christiane. I think your show has been a venue for a lot of progress here.
Thanks.
I don't think any of your listeners would doubt your role in pushing this situation forward.
Well, thank you. We'll do everything we can. Joshua Kors, we'll look for that next article coming out in The Nation magazine as well.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.